Good morning. God is good all the time. Happy to be here this morning. It looks very quiet in here. But we ought to be excited. I mean, you know, when we come to the house of God and know we are all excited. And let us not be discouraged by our number or one of you. But we're missing quite a few this morning. David said in one of the Psalms, it is a good thing to go in the house of the Lord. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Amen. I want to say thank you to Jerry for reading the scripture. Right now, we are studying from the book of Philippians for our Sunday morning Bible class. So I thought it wise to prepare a lesson for us from that book that will help us as a church. Philippians 2:5-8, especially verse 5, that's where, you know, the message already dwell on. It says, according to the KJV, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And 6 said, who being the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. So Jesus had a mind in him that he wants us to have, the mind of Jesus Christ. When we look at the word let in the scripture, let by definition, by synonym, is to allow or to permit something. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he talked about his humiliation, his suffering, well, a few coming all the way down there in the succeeding verses. So let this mind be in you. You see, God does not force his will upon us. The word let requires permission. Cannot do this thing, cannot do that. No, God being the Almighty God, the one who created the world, will not force his will upon you, will not force his will upon me. Will not say, well, Alfonso, you are forced to go and do this. Or Deborah, you are forced to go and do that. We have set the Lord on our free will. We are free moral agents, if I may put it that way. So he said, let this mind be in you. Allow this mind to be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Allow this mind to be in you. We have to allow Jesus' entrance into our lives. I'm assuming that I cannot do for you. You can't do that for me. Revelation 3:20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear, first you have to hear. And then when they hear, if they open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. So Jesus will come, knock at our door. It's our duty, our permission. But we have to give him the permission to come in. He said, if anyone opens the door, we have to open that door. Amen. Jesus will not break our doors open. He's not a robber. He's not a thief. Jesus will not slam our door. He comes quietly to ask us permission to open that door. It is left to us to either open the door or not open it. Let this mind be in us, which is also in Christ Jesus. A lot was in the mind of Jesus Christ when on earth. Another word for mind, another translation would say attitude. There was a lot of things in Jesus' attitude when he was on earth. But a single sermon like this, I cannot give all of what was in Jesus' mind. So I have selected 5 of those components which we can dwell on this morning. five of the components of the mind of Christ. What is it that was in the mind of Jesus Christ? That Paul is ushering us in the book of Philippians is one. That we should strive for. Let this mind be in you. What is that thing? What are those things that were in his mind? We need to be asking ourselves. Was he a drunkard going around? You know, that's what was in his mind. Was he a woman also chasing girlfriends? Was that what's in Jesus' mind? No. There were some things in Jesus' mind. And we have to look at some of those things this morning. And we'll look at five of them. And so I have decided to title this lesson, Let the Mind of Christ Dwell in Us. Let the mind of Christ dwell in us. Let the mind of Christ dwell in me. Let the mind of Christ dwell in you. Let the mind of Jesus Christ dwell in us. Let the church say amen. We are awful quiet. I don't know why. Look, we need to rejoice in the Lord. Being church of Christ doesn't mean just, I mean, we need to say amen when it's time to say amen. Amen, hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Say that amen. I mean, we are not buying it. We don't go to the soul to pay for that. We are here to worship the Lord, and the amen is a precious word, it's a biblical word, and we need to say it. Hallelujah. So let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was in the mind of Jesus Christ? The first one I have is the mind of humility. The mind of humility, meaning Jesus was very humble. The Bible says he came from heaven down to man, walking this earth to save us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. Do you love to see an empty plate when you are hungry? You are all hungry and sweating, and you've been working all day. You came, dining table. You open that, and the plate is empty. So, but what happened to my wife today? She didn't prepare anything. When we are hungry, we don't let to see empty plates, empty bowls. You don't let to see empty glass when we are hungry. But Jesus emptied himself. Wow. That is something for the Son of God to do. Empty himself. He counted himself as nothing for the sake of you and for me. So we need to do all within our power, all that we can do to serve the Lord, because in the final end, he's the only one we'll meet. He'll be the only judge we'll have to meet. He emptied himself like an empty glass, like an empty bowl for you and for me. That's what Jesus did. He humbled himself, leaving his glory in heaven, coming down a sin-cursed earth to bring humanity back to himself. The scripture says, and God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Jesus is a God-man. God was in him by bringing the world to himself, reconciling the world. The world was lost. You and I were lost. And so Jesus came to bring us back to the fold. He humbled himself. Let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of humility. The mind of being humble. The mind of lowliness. Jesus did not come into the world to become a president or to be a king over Israel or the world. He came for the purpose of bringing you and myself back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the church say amen. I didn't hear it. Amen. I did not hear it.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. Amen. That word, again, I say, is a biblical word. It's not satanic. So we need to shout it wherever we want to shout it. Amen is a word. So let it be. If you don't say amen, then you don't agree with what I'm preaching from the word of God. Yeah. I'm preaching from God's word. These are not my words. Amen means what? So let it be, right? Uh-huh. So Christ emptied himself. This is far beyond human imagination. How could God come down to man? I mean, I can't comprehend that. How could a creator come down to the creation and make himself no reputation, no honor, no prestige, came down for you and I? I mean, this is something to really think about. I mean, that should kind of motivate us as Christians, you know, to work for the Lord all the more. He emptied himself. Christianity is a religion of service. We were not called to positions. We were not called to wealth, to riches. We were called to serve. Jesus, our great Lord and Savior, served, and so we have to serve. Amen. I like that, brother. Thank you. Let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, the mind of humility. And then we come to the mind of prayer. The attitude of prayer of one of those things that were in Jesus' mind. Paul said, let his mind dwell in you, let it be in you. Jesus was a very powerful individual. He devoted a great deal of time to pray. I mean, before his ministry, he prayed. Several occasions, Jesus prayed. For major tasks in his life, Jesus prayed. Let me ask a question. I don't know. How many of us were getting ready to marry, to get our wives or our husband? And we pray to God sincerely for that. I know some of us pray, right? Yes. Why? Because we wanted the right woman or the right man. When you are facing major decisions in life, you pray. Major decisions. So Jesus prayed when faced with major decisions. Before his baptism, he prayed. Before beginning his ministry, Jesus prayed. Before going to the cross, he prayed. Before going back to heaven, he prayed. And while there in heaven, he's still praying. Praying for who? For you and for me. Jesus doesn't need prayer for himself. He needed when he was on earth because he prayed to his Father for help. But Jesus doesn't need prayer from us. He prays on our behalf so that we can live the life he wants us to live. Hallelujah. So the mind of prayer, Jesus prayed. The early church was a praying church. The scripture said they prayed to where they were praying, the room that they were in. The ground was trembling because of the power of their prayer. That tells us how powerful the early church was in prayer. How often do we pray as a church? How often do we pray as individual Christians? For some of us, sometimes it's very hard to even bless our own food. I mean, you are hungry and your food is before you. You say, well, don't even pray for 5 seconds. It's a problem. We need to pray all the time. That was the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in me. Let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of prayer. Fervent prayer. Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed for the huge task of going to save the dying world. That was a magnificent task. And so Jesus had to devote great deal of time in prayer. It even came to the point where the Lord said, if it is possible, my Father, let this cup pass away from me. Hallelujah. If it were possible. But Jesus had come to this end to give his life for you and for me. He said, if. There was a condition there. He said, I'm not saying take the cup away. I'm not saying, I don't want to go to the crucifixion. But if condition. If it is possible, my God, take it away. But if it is not possible, let your will be done. Jesus did that. The mind of prayer. It is said that prayer is the key of heaven, the key that unlocks heaven's door. We need to pray so that God can unlock those doors of heaven to pull down for us some of those blessings. Yes, we need to pray. Jesus was confronted by Satan. And Jesus had to pray. If Jesus had to pray against, against the darts of Satan, the scheme and the well of you, all those things about, he had to pray, you know, to go away from that. What much more about us as Christians? Prayer once, one time a day, would that be enough? I don't think it's enough. If it took the Son of God to pray several times, just to fulfill the mission of the Lord, because he knew the enemy was down here, Jesus Christ himself, the all righteous one, prayed over and over. Praying once a day is not enough. We need to do more than that. We need to pray all the time. Let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, the mind of prayer. The mind of prayer. The mind of prayer. Jesus had to quote several Bible verses to take Satan off his back. Man, that was tough. You remember the temptation on the mountain when this guy appeared to him several times, but then every time he had to do some quotation. If the righteous Son of God could quote the Bible to drive Satan away, not one time, not two times, but three times. Do you think by quoting John 3:16 is enough to fight this? To fight this enemy called Satan? John 3:16 is not enough. Satan is a very powerful enemy. We need more than just a single Bible verse to fight this enemy called Satan. This guy, he's a powerful guy. So he needs something very, very strong. Probably we need a boatload of Bible verses to just throw at that guy. So we'll sit down. We'll bury you with these Bible verses. We'll bury you, never come back. The mind of prayer. Let his mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Another thing that when the mind of God in his attitude was a mind of love. Love compelled Jesus Christ to come down, leaving his throne in heaven, coming down to walk on the dorsal streets of Israel for you and for me to redeem sinful man. Love compelled him. Because of love, Jesus came down. He came down, he left his throne in heaven. The Bible said, love the Lord our God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. God deserves 100% love. The Bible did not say, love the Lord with half of your heart, with quarter of your heart, with 10% of your heart, but with all your heart. God deserves 100% from the house of God, from Hickman Road Church of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. If you love something, you will not harm it. Can you get in the morning and start slapping yourself? Pow! Pow! Then you kick yourself in the back. Can anyone do that? If no, why? Because we love our bodies, right? We don't want to hurt it. We don't want to harm it. We like it. We love our body. So if we love the Lord, we will not do things that will hurt the Lord. If the Lord said, well, do this, that's what we do. That's what we are called, the Church of Christ. Hallelujah. We proclaim ourselves as the Church of the Bible, right?
So we are. So if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll do those things that will not hurt Jesus, those things that will not hurt God, those things that will promote the growth and development of the church, those things that will foster the growing of the good news around the world. The mind of love. The mind of love. For some of us, we love our cell phones more than we love our God. Hallelujah. How many have cell phones this morning? I got mine here. These days, some people don't even open the Bible. Everything is online now, right? I mean, why go here to read it? I mean, just go online and read the Bible from there. So everything is just technology, cell phone, what have you know, to even open the book now is a problem. So the cell phone has taken over almost everything. Some are on the cell phone 24/7. My wife is not here, but I wonder how to hear this. Praise the Lord. She almost on the cell phone 24/7. I really wanted to hear this message, but she went to work. We need to dwell more in the Word of God than dwelling on cell phones. Hallelujah. Amen. Than dwelling on our computers. Than dwelling on our tablets. Than dwelling on all those things, the technologies. Because those are the things that will attract us on the mind of Christ. So that we are not humble. We are not powerful. We don't do this. We are not loving. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Are they here? Amen. 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 The mind of love. The mind of love. For some people, I mean, it's clothes, it's feeling, it's shoes. Some are mighty, very close to wearing more than they might God. For some, it's a hairstyle. You have to care all that time to prepare that hairstyle, especially our ladies. I mean, you know, they send for that mirror, they will be there for 2-3 hours. They have to ready prepare that hairstyle so that they can get it. So that when the husband says, oh yes, my wife, you are beautiful. Yes, it is good. Those things are good. I'm not saying, don't get me wrong. They are very, very good. But we are devoting more time to these things, more than devoting time to the Word of God, then there is a problem. Praise the Lord. Let this mind be in us, which are also in Christ Jesus. The mind of love. Love is not an option. Love is a command. It's imperative. Love is something that we must do as well. Love the Lord your God. It's a command. It is what I mean. Love the Lord when you feel like it. No? It is what love the Lord when you know when you are happy. Love the Lord when you got food in your house. Love the Lord when you have plenty of money in your pocket. No? It's imperative. It's a command. Love the Lord. No matter whatever the situation. Hallelujah. Oh, you're doing good this morning. That's good. The mind of love. That was in the that was one of the things in the mind of Jesus Christ. Love. Another thing in his mind was a mind of evangelism. I termed that as a mind of evangelism. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs 11:30. On the flip side, he that does not win soul is foolish. If we win soul, we are wise. That's what the scripture says. Jesus and his disciples, they won souls. You went everywhere preaching the gospel, you know, I mean, multitudes are converted to the church. In Colossians 1 verse 13, Paul was compelled to write, and the gospel has been preached in all the world. Hallelujah. Can we say that in our generation? We can say that. We can boast of that. There are places in this world that the gospel has not been preached. But in Paul's day, the gospel covered the whole world. Hickman Road Church of Christ, we need to do more than what we are doing now. We need the power of evangelism in this church, my people. Evangelism is dying slowly. I believe in my mind that the Church of Christ exists for just two reasons. I mean, there are a lot of things that the church can do, but to me, there are two reasons the church exists for. And those two reasons are soul winning and soul keeping. If you don't win souls, if you don't keep the souls that you win, I mean, we are wasting our time. Can I get an amen for them?
Amen.
We waste our time, we are not winning souls and we are not keeping souls. I've been in this congregation for 9 years. In the 9 years, I have seen, you know, a lot of people come and a lot of people leave. I mean, does it bother us sometimes why these people left? Have we asked ourselves sometimes why they left and they didn't come back? Did we take the time to contact them? We need to be asking these hard questions. The mind of evangelism. God requires us to what? Convert the more. The early church converted the whole world. This is the morn. We have the truth, my people. Church of Christ has the truth. Amen. We need to what? Put that truth on that lampstand for everybody to see, not under the bushel. We need to do more than what we are doing now, Hagman Road Church of Christ. Let us do something about evangelism, my people. What if we don't evangelize 50 years from now? Where will we be? When all of us are dead and gone, what becomes of our children? And if our children come and they don't evangelize, what becomes of the Church of Christ and Heaven Rule? Let us think about these things. Let us think about evangelism. It's very, very precious. Let's win souls for the Lord. Let's think about the evangelism ministry. As you embark on getting your next preacher, I will suggest that, you know, these attitudes of the mind of Christ, you try to ask those questions, whether that such preacher possess this attitude. The mind of evangelism, the mind of love, and all these things I've been talking about, this will help the church to grow. The mind of evangelism, that was in the mind of Jesus Christ, the mind of the early church, and the priest, and the whole world was one to the Lord. If the morning does not hear the gospel, who do you think God will hold responsible? I mean, thank you, Todd. I mean, the morning does, this city does not hear the pure gospel, we are responsible. And God will hold us responsible on the day of judgment. I mean, we hold the truth. I remember in days going back, Church of Christ to go and do knocking campaigns. I don't see those anymore. We need to revamp ourselves, reorganize ourselves, some people, so that the church of the Lord can bring in more souls.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let this mind dwell in you, which are also in Christ Jesus, the mind of evangelism. And the final point I have is the mind of endurance. The mind of endurance. The mind of never giving up. Jesus did not give up. Had Jesus given up, you and I wouldn't have been sitting here this morning. But Jesus pressed forward. He fought. Satan cast all his doubts at him. But Jesus did not give up. He was fired upon. He was ridiculed. Everything that you can think about from the human stand of view, you know, those things were done to Jesus Christ. But did he give up? No. He did not give up because of you, because of me. He wanted to save you, he wanted to save me. That tells you that what the Lord loves the Lord. We would be happy if we go to heaven and we are the only people sitting in heaven. When I go to heaven, I see Todd. I see Carlos. I see Brooke. We the only people in heaven. We will feel happy. Would that make us feel good? The world has 7 billion people, my people. 7 billion. America has, I think, over 300 million. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think around 300 million. That's a huge number in America. What is Church of Christ population? We need to be thinking about that. Let us revamp our evangelism, our endurance, and well of his soul that we can forge forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to persist.
We have to endure. We have to persist till we succeed.
Don't give up.
A task may be so hard that you come to a finish line and say, oh, I want to give up. No, don't give up. Keep pressing on. There is something at the end of that road.
Praise the Lord.
The man of endurance.
Press on. Do not give up.
Press on. Press on. Press on. Press on. Do not give up. I'm reminded of the words of one of the greatest British poets, Samuel Johnson. He said, great works are performed not by strength, but by perseverance. I mean, that quote is very powerful. It's not by strength that we do great works, but by patience, perseverance, endurance, standing firm. That's what happened. One of your president, your former president, Lincoln. I mean, I'm told Lincoln lost several elections. But did he give up? Lincoln pressed until he became president of the United States of America. The sixth president. And sometimes they acclaim him as what? The greatest president in America. I mean, all these people did not give up. Alexander Graham Bell, Thomas Edison. I mean, Albert Einstein. He was a slow lender. But he pressed on to what? He fulfilled his mission. He did not give up. Hebrew World Church, let us not give up, my people. Our number is small, but I believe we can do great things if we put our mind to it. Amen. Yes, I believe that. I believe that with all my heart, we can do great things in this city. If we put our mind to it. But if we feel complacent, if we feel the way we feel now, you know, I mean, just with our number, where I feel, I mean, I don't know the population of Dumas, having done the study, but I think it's a huge city. And then looking at our number, I mean, God wants us to bring people in here to fill these fields. Praise the Lord. These fields must be filled. This is a huge city. It takes us. It takes, I mean, also, go to Baden, bring them in. So this message is for you. It's for me. What am I doing about it? Why are you doing about it? Why are the elders doing about it? Bringing those who are left, bringing them back, bringing lost souls to Christ. What are we doing about it? Let us be asking ourselves. This is something that the world, the apostle gave their whole life for. Some of them were crucified upside down. Some of the apostles were burned to life. Amen. Some of them died horrible death. The apostle John, I'm told, according to tradition, he was put in a hot boiling drum of oil. I mean, can you imagine that? But he came back, he survived from that because of through the miracle of God. Some of them were beheaded. The apostle Paul, they laid down their lives for what? This one gospel. Because they knew the importance of the gospel. And so they did not give up. In Colossians 1:23, as I told you, he was pleased to declare that what? The gospel had been preached in all the world. So the early church worked very hard. Hebron Road Church of Christ, let this message serve as an awakening call so that we can put more fire into our evangelism. Because I feel God impressed upon me that our number is dwindling. Our evangelism is weak. We need fire in our evangelism. We need to bring people in. We need to tell people about the gospel, the good news. If we hold the truth, my people, I think that truth will set us free. The Lord's truth is the truth, and Church of Christ has the truth. Amen. Why do we let other people who don't have the truth to take the people away from us? We need to do something about that. So I will implore our leadership. Let us be thinking about that. And if you bring the program, if I have the chance, and I'm not tied up with work, I'm ever willing to help in our area. We need to bring people to the Lord to evangelize this city.
we need to evangelize the city. Hallelujah.
Amen. To conclude this morning, those are the five minds, attitudes of the mind of Christ. There are so many, but I couldn't dwell on all of them in a single sermon. But I just want to conclude with a conference that Satan one time had with his demons, you know. Or in the demonic world, they can have conferences. They have meetings. They discuss us, the Christians, what to do to us. So one day Satan had this meeting. He called his host of demons. Okay, he decided to have a meeting or conference. He told his demon, you know, I mean, he said, I observed that no matter what we do, people are still coming to Jesus Christ. People are still being converted to the Lord, no matter what we do. What can we do to stop them from coming? That was the discussion. So one of the demons got and said, well, let's give them plenty of money and they will start coming to God. Once they are rich, I mean, you know, there will be no problem. Another one got and said, well, give them plenty of food. Give them all the wealth you can think about. You know, then they will forget about God. And everybody, all the demons came one by one. They started giving their opinion. And then one of the demons stood up. He said, our God is Satan. Let's tell them there is no need to hurry. Hallelujah. There is no need to hurry to accept Jesus Christ. There is no need to hurry to preach the gospel because we have 7 billion people in the world. I mean, after all, you know, people will always be here. There is no need to hurry to bring people to the Lord. There is no need to hurry to bring people to the church. There is no hurry, my people. Satan has deceived the world. There is no hurry. But I know that's not what Hickman Road Church is saying this morning. We are a people, precious in the sight of God. Amen. And we want this church to grow. We want the Lord's church to grow, to explore. So, I don't think we'll be led by that temptation. I know there is no more hurry. If you are here this morning, I don't know whether I got any visitors, and you want an indwelling mind of Jesus Christ, I mean, his hands are ever open. His hands are ever open. He said, whoever comes to me, I will not cast out. He's waiting to accept him this morning. You can surrender your life to him in the watery grave of baptism. And so, you with us can walk in newness of life. So that we can exhibit the mind of Jesus Christ. So that we can foster the mind of Jesus Christ for the growth of the Church of Christ in the morning. May the Lord bless us and carry us through as we embark on this journey of, you know, choosing our next preacher. Let us not forget that to look for some of these qualities in the next preacher we are trying to hire here. That especially you will be a preacher, an evangelistic preacher, a preacher that will think outside of the box, that will focus beyond, so that souls can come to the Lord. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. Amen.